is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Today's show is brought to you by Nature's Pavilion. Nature's Pavilion is a natural food market and vitamin shop located at 564 Route 23 in North Pompton Plains, New Jersey. You can go to their website to get tons of information on a healthy lifestyle by visiting www.naturespavilion.net. Again, that's www.naturespavilion.net today.
Breaking news from the medical world. Ancient Orchestra by Tom Casella has been recommended by medical doctors for the effective treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder and chronic pain relief. This is the world's first medical doctor-recommended sound healing album ever created. Ancient Orchestra is a safe, natural, and effective alternative sound healing treatment for those in pain, mentally or physically. Learn more and sample free at ancientorchestra.com. Ancient Orchestra has been called the most powerful healing music ever created and recommended by massage therapists, chiropractors, yoga, Reiki, and meditation masters, ministers, teachers, and medical doctors worldwide for effective and enhanced treatment. Please find all Ancient Orchestra albums on iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, YouTube, and digital streaming services worldwide, plus ancientorchestra.com.
Hey guys, this is Rob Katz from the Autism Radio Board calling in to the podcast Hope Saves the Day to wish the listeners, my friends, and host of Hope Saves the Day, Paul Simmons, a Merry Christmas and a Happy and Healthy New Year.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at AutismDonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, master chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back on another edition of Hope Saves the Day. Also like to welcome back to the program my co-host, Lynn Glukoff.
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
Good, Lynn. It's great to have you back on today. It's great to be our second show of 2016. A lot of stuff in the news, obviously, and one of the things we wanted to talk about, a little bit about this thing in the news about Hillary Clinton, was talking about a lot of mothers with children with autism deserve some relief. Autism, as we know, is diagnosed in more than 2% of today's population, and of course, we know it's not easy on anyone. And a lot of caretakers, it's very demanding on both the parents as well as a lot of us, or a lot of our family members as well. But what they're trying to do is they're realizing how a lot of mothers with children with autism experience a tremendous amount of stress, physical illness, even psychiatric concerns for themselves and the parents of the children. And they wonder... a lot of pediatricians are even noticing this. They see a lot of stress in parents and family members and children with autism. And in particularly, they find it falling on the mothers and just doing, often trying to work and raise, their other children and dealing with the daily tasks of maintaining a household, which we all can understand about. Because we know stress is always a big issue. And I think parents, we had a show that we talked about this a while ago, how, comparing someone that goes into war or, the stress levels and how parents with children with autism are never relaxed. They're constantly under that flight or fight stress levels, So
this
finally got some national news, not just like locally, this was national. And one of the candidates, Hillary Clinton, who's running for president, you know, brought this to attention, which is, you know, always a good thing when you shine a little bit of light on autism, of course, not to get political. But, you know, they have found that, you know, with all the therapies for children, a lot of families in the country have private insurance, and a lot of things are not covered, you know, with their school districts or their state or their towns or whatever. They have to pay out of pocket. And they found like the average was about $4,000 to $6,000 to almost $7,000 a year per child that families are actually shelling out of their pocket just for some therapies. Okay. And that's like an average. That's not even like kids that have, I mean, there's parents that spend $40,000 to $60,000 a year or more,
right,
on therapies. And some just have schools, like some states have private schools where it's $40,000 a year for your child to go there, and they have,
right,
to pay,
yeah,
it, and it's not covered by, you know, their state or their local, you know, government agencies, or even the Board of Ed. You know, nothing's paid for. It's considered out of district, and it's not covered. You know, so like I said, it differs state to state. It's very, very different. But, you know, one of the things we can do, and I guess to really to get the message out to talk about, is that we can all really help, you know. You know, there's a lot of fears here, and you know, doctors, I know we talk about this a lot, that educating doctors more, service providers, members of the communities, can all kind of come together to make it a lot better for a lot of families that have children with autism. And, you know, with Mrs. Clinton's proposal that was just announced a few days ago, you know, by increasing early screening and treatments and funding for more autism research and the greater focus for services, you know, I think more on the service end, personally, as a parent, I would like to see more services being provided for kids, more so than anything, and especially even for 21 and over, as we know, is a big issue.
Yeah.
Because we lose our services after the age of 21. You know, so they're hoping to provide with this proposal a lot more support for communities and families, and having more like one-stop centers for diagnosis and treatments for and family support as well. Because obviously we know, you know, as parents, we go all over the place. I remember back in the day, we were going all over the place, all different kinds of doctors and treatment centers and you name it, because you're trying to get answers.
Uh-huh.
So what they want to do is try to make more like one place for a diagnosis, and then, you know, be able to give referrals there for any other ongoing therapies that they'd be able to get right in-house. You know, like I know Illinois is looking at this right now. The governor looked at a proposal budget, you know, trying to do something with this. But they say, you know, they're losing money in funding. You know, it's like $4.3 million a year they're losing.
Wow.
So, you know, but as a society, you know, obviously, you know, we have to come together and help. And I think that's what, you know, this whole thing is trying to do, and hopefully, you know, will. But they're trying to do like more online curriculum. One way to reduce a lot of, you know, college campuses and stuff, be able to work at home is one way. You know, a lot of elementary schools, there's ways, you know, they're working with ways to prevent and combat bullying, you know, because bullying is still an issue, as we know, Lynn. We talk
right
about that all
right
the time. It still goes on today, for sure. It's a lot better today than it was 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, for sure.
We have
come a long way, but it's still exists today, and I think it exists in many other forms. That's the other problem, you know, social media bullying, you know.
Yeah,
there's cyberbullying.
I don't even know if it's really gone away. I mean, completely.
No, of course
but,
not.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to,
yeah.
I mean, they're trying to address it more than they did when we were young, at least, which is good, but.
Right. And then the other thing is, you know, there's some areas of the country too that, you know, you get a lot of people blaming mothers, you know, causing autism, you know, for their children. There's been people that do that. You know, and it's a struggle, obviously, you know, and neighbors can help, coworkers can help, you know, a mother to see might be struggling with a child at a store and other public places. You know, obviously your child's making strange noises in a place and just might be overwhelmed by the space. you know, people can offer, you know, be more humanitarians. I think that's really what this whole thing is trying to do too, and shine some light on it, just to realize the struggles that a lot of moms are going through on a daily basis.
Right, there needs to be more of a national awareness, right, rather than so much. I mean, I think in this area there's a lot of awareness, but I don't know, it's, you know, in the whole nation, if there is, that's the problem.
Well, that's it. There's no. It's not an equal playing field. You know,
right,
we're kind of spoiled. I mean, where we are in our area, we have a tremendous amount of services here, and I feel bad because it's not. In a lot of states and a lot of towns and a lot of cities, they don't have that.
No,
they don't. It's not equal.
Right.
And then there's some areas that have even better services than we have here. It's kind of not fair. And then what happens is, you know, people will sacrifice everything to try to move their families to get better services. And that's what they do.
Yes, I've heard of that happen a lot.
You know, so they go to a town or they go to a state or they go wherever they can go to get, you know, the best services for their kids, which any parents would do. And then the problem is then these programs get overtasked and there's a waiting list and then they can't get in now in a lot of these schools, you know. So... it's just something to pay attention to, and I think notate and you know, kind of see where they go from here with the whole thing, I guess. And you know, might get her some more votes, obviously, in the polls. And you know, you just hope that, you know, it's not another lip service, as I like to say. You know, because,
right. We don't want her just saying it. We want her to actually implement it if she is elected.
Right. Of course.
You know. So we'll see. But
you know,
at least she, you know, it was, at least she put it out there. So that's a good. That makes people more aware.
It is, and it's a big, like, you know, again, you know, it's a big part of the population, as we know today, is 1 out of 45 kids being diagnosed with autism in this country. So it's a big number.
Right.
So
huge. Yeah.
You know, I just hope it's not a political thing to get people to vote for, you know, that's my always fear, you know, anytime you hear a politician make claims, and there's been a lot of politicians, even here in our own state, that's, you know, made claims that, you know, not everything has happened the way it said it was. So, you know, it's one of those things where you have to kind of wait and see what happens and then, you know, take it from there. But, but anyway, it does shine a light. And I think hopefully, you know, when someone does that in her profile, nationally, people around the country are paying attention. Maybe, you know, it does help raise some awareness for sure. So, but I wanted to talk about this one question that was kind of sent in to us for support. Basically, this mom has someone come in their home who does support. And I'm not going to read it word for word because I don't want to get too into the whole thing. But basically, she was looking for, you know, this person was supposed to help her, and the helper's not very helpful. I guess that's kind of what it's, and the bottom line is that, you know, she's having some issues with this in-home aide that comes in and helps her with her child, and seems like it's causing her more harm than good. You know, it's supposed to be giving the mom a break from, you know, being able to go out to the store. She comes with them, and I guess the situation got a little out of hand. And, you know, she goes into the detail of everything, what went on in the conversation. It's a big thing to read. But basically, they go out into the public, and, you know, she kind of doesn't direct them in the right way. And, you know, you know, she might grab the child, and when she does that, she actually sets him off, just to, you know, tell you a little bit about this. But, you know, one of the moms, you know, wanted to get it off her chest, and I know, Lynn, we had some stuff we put together that we wanted to share to kind of answer some of the questions and, you know, just what to expect and maybe have a guideline of what to expect when you have in-home, you know, therapies or an in-home aide come to your house.
Yeah, and I think it's a great, great topic because I know so many people that have issues with this that do get home therapy programming, and it is very stressful to have somebody in your house or somebody with you, with your child, and the dynamic has to be there, and it's not always there. So basically what they were saying when we looked into some information regarding this, it was really more geared towards the therapist that you hire, And they're saying that, the therapist needs to be aware of certain things when they're coming into your home and they're working with your child. And to start your relationship off on the right foot and state from the beginning your expectations of their involvement. And they're suggesting the parent put it in writing. Always be mindful of how you're speaking to the parents. You don't want somebody who's talking down to you. And I know of several cases where this has happened with therapists in the house. They should speak to you. Be aware of your tone, your demeanor, and your attitude. No parent will want to cooperate with you if you make them feel stupid, lazy, or like a bad parent. And let me tell you something. I can tell you stories of people that I've heard who do this to the parent, and it's very, very hard. It's not helpful to tell a parent you're not doing enough. That's the last thing that you want to hear as an autism parent, is that you're not doing enough. It's just not helpful, and it's very, very stressful, and it makes you feel even more guilty because you are doing everything you can. Give the parents specific feedback, not general disapproval. Tell them what you want them to do, not what you wish they would stop doing. Good point there. I like that. Require that the parents be home during the sessions. The parents need to be home during the sessions so they can observe and they can learn. They don't want you to use the person as a babysitter, basically. I mean, that you should be somewhat involved in your child's therapy session, even though it's in your house.
I think it depends too, because some the one lady that wrote us, you know, is more of an aide that comes in and kind of like doesn't really do therapy with the child.
Right, but she takes them out.
But she takes them out. Yeah, she's
the
kind of an aide to
her. So the mother should be involved.
Right, in the process.
With the therapist, right? Exactly. She shouldn't be like, you know, off on her own shopping. You know, she should be
seeing
what the therapist does with the child and trying to mimic or, you know, do the same type of thing. Basically, you're learning from these people, but they have to treat you with respect and they have to also honor your opinion as a mother of your own child. That's always been my pet peeve. Is like, you're the mother, you're the parent, you know your child. So I think that, you know, a therapist that respects that and understands that is probably the best therapist that you can get, because they need to respect you.
And also I got to, you know, mention too, some dads do this as well, so I don't want to keep dads out of it, because we're saying all moms here. Even at, you know, the article about Hillary Clinton, you know, I was thinking about it. I said, you know, it's also dads too, because sometimes dads take that role. So I think it all depends on who the role, you know, is taking care of the kids every day too. So.
Of course, definitely. It says the siblings should not be involved in the program unless they are, you know, doing peer play or imitate a social skill program. So you want your, if you do have a typical sibling, you want to try to keep them separate from where the therapy is going on. Be consistent in your behavior with the parents. Call the parents when you say you will. Be on time. You know, actually, you know, these people, some of them, I've heard from people, and you know, that they're not showing up, or they're not calling, or they're not coming on time. I mean, they'd be fired for doing that on another job. It's a job. They need to take it as a, you know, they need to take it seriously as a job. And if they're not, then they need to be reported to whoever they report to. Ask open-ended questions. Don't ask the parents quick questions that they can quickly say yes or no, because you won't get much information. Instead of asking, are you following the 3-prompt stepping procedure, say, give me an example from this week and when you use this procedure. I mean, that's a good helpful hint, I think. You know, you want to ask as many questions as you can to the parent. Use the same strategies to shape behavior with the parents that you do with the kids. If a parent who never complies with the collecting data is able to complete even a little bit of data on their own, it will give lots of praise and compliments for that. Be consistent with the parents and provide consequences and reinforcement based on their actions. I don't know if you should treat, I don't know if I agree with that last one 100% as far as treating them like you do the child, but I mean, if the parent is doing something that you know the therapist have been working on for a long time, you want to, you know, the therapist should say, you're doing a great job, you know, thanks for working on this with us, you know, this helps. I mean, everybody should be on the team. I think that's the crux of the argument here, is that, you know, no one should speak down to anybody else. It should be an equal playing field, and the parents should be following through on whatever therapy the therapist is providing for the child as much as they possibly can, though. I mean, sometimes it's just not possible to do all the things that are required of you. You know, it's, they have to be realistic too. And some people that come into your home, they may have children of their own. They may be able to relate. They may have special needs kids. And then there are some that may not have kids and don't have any concept of, you know, what your life is like. So I think it needs to be a pretty open rapport there. And,
well, I think, you know what, they could probably help, you know, by having, you know, when you have a sit down before they actually start working with your child.
Definitely.
You know, this will give you a good basis to kind of have an open discussion with your professional. And I think if you mention some of these things and they get kind of, you know, offended or put off by it, maybe that's not the person for your child, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think it's important to find a good match. And I think it is, like, I do remember when my son was, when we was little, that we did have the person come in first. Even no matter when, even when switching therapists, you want the person to come in, meet your child first, interact a little bit with them. You don't want them coming in and starting therapy right away, because of course the kid is not going to respond, you know, that way to anybody. So you want to, you know, make it playful and definitely set boundaries too, you know, as far as you know, talking to them about certain things that are professional, you know, how your child's day went or whatever.
Well, I think it's like an interview process, basically. It's like, you know, it's kind
of
like it's like, you know, you should be able to do an interview as well as them interviewing you, so they get to know you and they get to know your child and you get to know them and how, what this way, you know what, it's better to lay it out from day one, because then you have no false or no, you know, misleading expectations, I should say.
Right. Definitely.
And I think
I agree
that's important.
100%. 100%. And sometimes the strategies don't work, or the person doesn't work, and the match isn't there. And, you know, that's okay. I mean, there's a lot of workers out there. So, you know, it's okay if it's not the right match, and maybe try to find the person that does match. But in general, I think if you have an open, honest relationship with them, that helps, I think. You know,
absolutely.
If something's bothering you or if something's bothering them or whatever, you want to be able to someone that you're comfortable talking to about it.
But I think you have to have boundaries. I think it's important, Lynn,
right,
too.
That too.
You know, like, this person can't get too much into your family business, you know.
Right.
I think to a point there's a fine line of professionalism. I think that needs to be separated too. Like, I know, you know, some people I've talked to, you know, where they get too involved in their personal business, and you know, it becomes a problem.
Right, and then you also have, I think with this lady, when we read what she had written in about the person, I think also a big thing and a big problem that I hear from parents is that they talk down to the parent, or they're criticizing the way the parent is handling the child. I mean, that. And you could see why they would do it, and they may not mean any harm by it, but unfortunately,
we're not professionals. We're not teachers, you know.
We're the parent. A ton of,
you know,
stress.
Yeah.
I mean, and like we had talked about, the parents that are dealing with these children are under a tremendous amount of stress. Like this mom who wrote in, and I mean, like I said, the last thing you want is someone coming in and criticizing the way you handle your child. There's a way to do it, you know, where you're not criticizing, where you're not putting the blame on the parent, making the parent feel like they didn't do enough. And I can't even begin to tell you the stories that you hear from people about this. It's very, very stressful on a parent. I mean, hopefully we've made progress in this area, and there are more people going into AA or autism that understand the methods and understand, have more. You want to have some compassion, you know, too, for the family.
Absolutely.
So I think that's a good point, and I think that's what this mother was really
upset
about.
It's a great topic, and, you know, we appreciate for her to write in, and, you know, we shared that information with you, and hopefully it'll help a parent out there. We hope for sure.
Right.
So we'll see what happens and keep going, you know, every week, you know, like I said, here on the program. We want to let everybody know, too, we have a golf outing coming up in June. Also, September the 24th, we want to save the date for our second annual casino night at the Bethwood in Totowa, New Jersey. So put that on your calendar. So remember, and if you're a business, or if you'd like to make a donation and be part of the event, we have tons of sponsor opportunities to help showcase your business at this tremendous event. It's over 300 people expected in attendance. That should be a great event. So we're really, really looking forward to it. And we're really looking forward to a great 2016. We have a lot of exciting news. We might be having a new program joining the Autism Radio Network as well. So we have a lot of exciting stuff going on. And, you know, also to be part of the Autizable family now, the Autizable.com, one of the largest blog hubs in the autism world today. And so we're going to be teaming up and potentially partnering with them for the near future of 2016. So we'll be able to have a bigger reach and be able to hopefully impact more families and give them the help that they desperately need. Also, if you'd like to make a donation, don't forget you can go to donations.org or go to autismradio.org and make a donation right on the page, or also purchase one of our great t-shirts that we have. We have some limited supplies left, but we do still have some in stock. So we do still have a few of Teach the World shirts, so you can feel free to pick one of them up, and also we'll include a free pin and a free bracelet with every order. And you, by doing that, you're also helping the autism community, because 100% of the purchase goes to the charity, and we get to put that right back into the families and into the programs that we support in the autism community. So we really look forward to that, and we want to wish everybody a great week as always, and we want to wish you a happy 2016 again. You know, this is our second show of 2016, and it's still kind of new. I know a lot of you are probably writing 2015 on your checks by mistake, and I know we go through a lot of those challenges just getting used to the new year. But we wish you always the best as always, and we thank you all for the, you know, for your continued support here on the program for Hope Saves the Day. And also, if you have any questions, don't forget to use our email at questions@autismradio.org or use our toll-free number at 1-877-HOPE-777 if you have any questions or comments or anything you'd like to share on the show. And as always, we'd like to wish everybody a great week. And until next time, remember, hope saves the day. Good night, everyone. Today's show is Closing by Paul Simmons. Hope Saves the Day, available on iTunes.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand, what is your world like? I want to feel your love. I want to know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound that you cannot make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know how it feels to be me. I wish you could look into my world and see how I see. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice. And remember, hope saves the day. Show you what I see. What kind of life will I have? What's in store for me? Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything. With your love I can see the world like rays of light shine upon me, inside of me. There you are right by my side. I will love you till the end of time. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to. Let this song be my voice. And remember, safe step there.